Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And I trust that God is keeping, sustaining, and watching over your life. Indeed, it only takes the mercy of God to be alive. It takes the kindness of God each and every day to wake up. And that is why we must take each and every moment to find Him, each and every moment to be in His presence, and be it in public or in private. I think the greatest place of strength is the secret place, is a place of prayer, is a place of knowing that we are with our Father and He is with us. And let us keep there, let us keep there. And even as we come to just encourage one another in the Word of God, I pray that God's Word will take root and that you shall be established in your faith. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and today we shall read from verse 12 onwards to the end. And remember, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and this is a body of believers. This is a body that has been established in his second missionary journey. He writes to them in his third missionary journey, and he is concerned with the number of things that are happening in the church. He had highlighted the things of division that was there, and initially this he was informed by those of the household of Chloe that there were great divisions among them, where some were saying, "I follow Paul," others, "I follow Apollos," others, "I follow Cephas," and others, "I follow Christ." And he clearly addresses them that Christ did not send him to baptize, but that he would preach the gospel. And the first and foremost important is that Christ is preached and Christ is portrayed as crucified, died, buried, and resurrected. And by him we receive eternal life. And so he tells them clearly that they need to be united. They need to walk in love. Yes, you're a church that is gifted in all manners of knowledge and utterance, but you lack the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the greatest fruit is that love, and love demonstrated in maturity, demonstrated in how they serve one another in love. He also addresses a second thing, which is about wisdom of God, and where he highlights that the foolishness of God is greater than any human wisdom. And he knows that if the rulers of this age had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And this is an area that he addresses. He applies it to them. Then he then also starts to apply discipline to the church. And one of the key concerns that the church was going through was an issue of sexual immorality. And he says that it is sad that among you there is a form of sexual immorality that is not even worth to be mentioned among the Gentiles. And this is a man who was sleeping with his father's wife, and the church was proud. Like, I think they would allow him to just carry on serving. There was no concern, and they thought it normal. But you see, Paul has to contend with sexual immorality because it is a big concern in that it defiles the body. And one of the things that we'll be able to see is that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are called to keep the temple of God pure. Now, that is to tell you that God is concerned not only about our spirits, He's also concerned about our mind, our soul, which is our will, our mind, our intellect, our emotions. But also, God is also concerned about our bodies. Now, whenever we say we are born again, we are made alive in the Spirit. That means we are regenerated in the Spirit. But then after we are regenerated, we need to renew our mind through the Word of God. We need to ensure that what we allow into our space, what we guard, as we guard our hearts, we need to guard it from the plantings of the evil one, from the plantings of the world, from the seeds of the enemy, not allowing the enemy to plant seeds of discord or tares. Because at the end of the day, what we feed our mind is what will manifest in our body. And then now the third aspect as well is also our body. We are given a temple that we must take care of. I think if you can think of a house, the house is important because it carries the spirit, it carries the mind. Now, God is very keen. If you destroy the temple of God, then God shall also destroy you. So one of the greatest contaminants or the things that bring down men of God and women of God and bring down the life of a Christian is sexual immorality. And this is one of the things that Paul addresses in his letter to the Corinthian church. Now, he says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. That means everything is lawful, but not everything is beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, this is very important to understand. Paul is speaking about mastery. He's saying that in the world, you're going to find very many things that are okay, that they're allowed, they're allowable. I mean, by virtue of your liberty in Christ, there are things that you can do, and it is not sin. But you see, he recognizes that something may be lawful, that means it is allowable, but it does not mean that that thing is beneficial. And the biggest concern is many of the things that we find allowable is that they end up throwing us into bondage. And when that bondage comes, then you find that you are under the power of a thing that should not have power over you. And the first thing that he addresses is the aspect of food. And it says, food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot or members of a prostitute? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality, or flee fornications. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body, or honor God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, you can see he says food for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will destroy both them all. Paul is clearly highlighting that there is nothing wrong with food. In fact, God made food that it is to be eaten. In fact, food has its place in the stomach. But you see, there was a kind of food that was being offered at that time that was not beneficial to the church. And this was a challenge of food sacrificed to idols. So, one of the things that of the worship of that time in Corinth is that there was the worship of food that is offered to idols by the eating. So when you come to a temple, and one of the temples that they had was of the god Aphrodite, who is the god of sexual immorality. One is that they will be offered food, and this is food that has, you know, the sacrifices that are brought, and they will eat. But you see, Paul is very clear that if you eat from the temple of idols, you're eating with demons. You know, you're sharing communion with them. And in as much as idols are not of any value. They hold no value, but we must not be ignorant that idols are actually offered to demons. You know, idols have demons that are attached to them. The reason why people worship them, the reason why people experience certain things when they worship idols is because they're demonic entities that are assigned to idols. And these demonic entities are spirits that when you are devoted to them, they have their manifestation. They issue their power. But Paul is clearly warning the church, you see, as believers, in as much as you know that idols are muteless things, they cannot speak, they have no power, they have no authority, they're defeated by Christ. In as much as you know that, he does not give you the liberty to just go and eat from the table of idols as you wish. So it is very clear that you should not contaminate your body. You should not contaminate others, because what you see is that your eating of food of idols will also hinder others who may not have strong faith as you, and they might think that eating food sacrificed to idols is okay. And as a result, you find that your brother who is weak in spirit is ensnared by your liberty. And that's why Paul is clear that all things are lawful to me, but not all things are beneficial, or not all things are expedient. So the warning and the aspect of food is that we must exercise restraint. We must exercise wisdom in how we deal with food. There is a place where we need to fast. There is a place where we need to say no to food. There is a place where we need to establish boundaries and know that beyond this, I have gone overboard. And when you learn that, then you walk in the liberty of the Spirit. You walk in the truth of the gospel. Now, he compares food to sexual immorality. You see, food is an appetite. Food is a need. It's a need of the body that God created. And that's why he says it is lawful to eat, but not everywhere that you eat. Likewise, also, sexual appetites are needs that God has placed in the body of a man or a woman, and by which he made us to function. Now, just because one has the appetite does not mean that it must be exercised anywhere. That means that there is a place, there's a right place, there's a right time, and God has given the context in marriage where marriage becomes a place where one has the right before God and right culturally and right before society to exercise their intercourse, you know, and to exercise and to meet that need. Now, when we go outside of these boundaries, then we fall into error, and what happens is that we contaminate our bodies, and this can result in physical sin, in physical illnesses, HIV, sexually transmitted illnesses. But beyond that, it also affects our minds or our souls. And this is where you find people experience soul ties, where you find someone is deeply connected with someone in their past, someone whom they slept with. And no matter how or whoever they are with at the moment, they are still in that place where they are locked to that other person. And you see, these soul ties result in people always going back. You say, oh no, me, I'm going back to my ex, or me, I'm still connected to my ex. Now, when that happens, it is because of the impact of sexual intercourse that started in the body, but then also that has that connection in the soul. And that's why you find someone saying, oh, this is my type, or I like maybe short men or fat and or thin. And that is because the first person that they experience is that, and they find that they want to be connected to that. And that is why you find someone has no power, has no control over themselves, because They are already tied in the mind and they have lost the battle in the mind. And this is also fed by what you feed your mind. I mean, if you're constantly in watching or reading of romantic and erotic things, then you feed your mind with things that stimulate your body. And remember, the mind is more of like a computer. Garbage in, garbage out. That which you feed your mind with is what comes out. That's what the Bible says. The mind that is controlled by sinful nature leads to death. But the mind that is led by the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, leads to life. So we have a responsibility to guard our minds, to guard our hearts, to guard our thoughts, processes, because it is out of the heart that the issues of life flow. That means your heart is a gate, and it is you that will determine what you allow in and what you allow out. Now, Paul is very keen that, you know what, flee sexual immorality. There is a place where you need to run. This is not a place of reasoning. Think of Joseph. Joseph, many days, the Potiphar's wife would insist, come and sleep with me. And Joseph would not give her any room and was very clear that, how can I do such a wicked thing against my father God? Yes, he was in a foreign land. Yes, he was alone. Yes, he would have done it and no one would have known. Yes, he was a servant. He needed his freedom and he needed maybe certain favors. But you see, he knew there is a God that watches over everything, and he knew that he needed to stay faithful in his mandate as God has called him. He had a dream, and that dream would have been miscarried if he fell by the wayside. And Paul goes on further to give us the third aspect of where we need to be pure before God, which is our spirit. And he says, don't you know that he that is joined to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, is one spirit with him? That means that in the Spirit, we have a union, we have a fellowship, we have a koinonia, we have a unity, and this is what we call the mingled spirit, in that, for example, if you mix Coca-Cola and Fanta, you will have a mixture that is neither Coke nor Fanta, but it is a mixture of the two elements. Now, what happens in the Spirit when we are born again? We get infused in our spirits with the Spirit of God, and this mingled spirit has both properties of God and properties of man. And that is why when you think certain thoughts, you might think it is you thinking, but at times it is God thinking through you. And as well also, when God speaks through you, you might think that it is your spirit speaking through you. Now, anyone that is truly born again will know that the Spirit of God is in them. And the Bible says that the spirit of man is a candlestick of the Lord. That means that God shines his light, God shines his truth. His truth is allowed to permeate into our space through our spirits. And this capacity of God that is in our spirits is what makes us effective believers. We experience the truth of the Spirit of God in our hearts through the Word of God. As we read the Word of God, remember the words of God, they are spirit and life. That means they administer spirit, they administer the manifestation of the Spirit, and this Spirit then translates into our spirits and brings us life, regenerates us, and we are born again. We are born of the Spirit and born of the water, and after we are born again, then we are able to interact freely with the Spirit of God. Then we get to that place where the Bible says that the Father, God, is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. So the Father is seeking for them that are alive in spirit, them that have connected themselves, them that have aligned themselves to the Spirit of God, and are regenerated and allow the Spirit of God
to influence their thoughts, to influence their words, to influence their actions, and to know without a shadow of doubt that they are united with the Lord. They are one with the Lord. And this is really one of the basic lessons or basic understanding of the Christian faith, that we are made in one in spirit with the Lord. So our bodies need transformation. Our bodies need to be kept pure. We should not defile our bodies through sexual immorality. We should know that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We must also guard our minds and our hearts, our emotions, our will, our intellect. Guard that which we feed our minds. This is the place where we renew our mind with the Word of God. It is the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, being taught the Word of God, studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God at a personal level, that helps us to interact with God Himself. Remember, God is not separate from His Word. His Word is Him. His Word is His bone. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. That means the Word of God, the words that we read, the words that we hear, they are God Himself. And God does not separate Himself from the dark. So when we come to Him, when we experience Him, then we know, when we are born again, then we know that God has brought us into unity with Him, into koinonia with Him, into fellowship with Him. And this fellowship is the one that is supposed to lead and guide us. That's why God tells us, honor God with your body. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. It is with your body that you will worship God. It is with your body that you will serve Him. It is with your body that you will preach the gospel. But you see, the moment you don't take care of your body, what happens is that you cannot be alive. You cannot be there to spread the gospel. And many people have destroyed their lives by either alcohol or smoking or sicknesses or not taking care of their own health. And thus they become utterly irrelevant. Why? Because the moment you're not healthy, either through greed, gluttony, and you cannot be alive to be able to spread the gospel. And at the end of the day, our Father is merciful. All He wants us is that we don't fall into sin, but that we walk in repentance. And by us walking in repentance, then we are able to live a healthy life on the earth. Remember how it says that honor your father and mother, for this is the only commandment with the promise that it will go with well with you, that you might live a long life. So there are things that God allows us to know. There are no certain knowledges that God allows us to know, but it also starts with our own effort. Our own effort to obey God in our bodies, to honor God with our bodies, to guard our hearts from all corruptions, from all influences, demonic influences, from all thoughts. That's why we say whatsoever thoughts are pure, loving, good, trustworthy, think of such things. Think of such things. Guard your mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things below. And last and not least is that we must worship God with our spirit, in spirit and in truth, remembering, being reminded constantly that we are united with Him in Christ. We are seated with Him in the heavens, far above all principalities, all powers, all rules, all dominions. And by we being joined to the Spirit, being one with the Spirit of God, then we are able to act in His capacity. We are able to receive His thoughts, to receive His frequency, and to be led. The mind that is led by the Spirit of God leads to life and peace. God has given a warning. If anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy. Now, the Corinthian church needed to be warned. Why? Because they were worshiping. There were forms of idolatry there that men will go and sleep with temple prostitutes. And He is clearly warning them, do not defile yourself in this way. I'm going to stop here today, and I pray that God will give you insight, guidance into His word. And even as you carry on studying, either together or in your personal life, that you shall experience the truth of the gospel. And ask also for the place of mercy. Maybe, yes, you have fell into the sin you have contaminated yourself, there is a place of restoration. There is a place that is able to wash us. And this is the blood of Jesus. There is a place that is able to break soul ties that have arisen because of uniting ourselves with the wrong people. And God is merciful. God's grace is able to bring us to the place of restoration. And when we come to Him genuinely, then that bondage is able to be broken. Now let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, we honor you, we adore you, we give you glory. Thank you for your word that has come forth, that we should honor God with our bodies, with our minds, with our spirits, O God. And indeed, in one way or another, we may have contaminated ourselves. We have fallen short of your glory. We plead your mercies in thoughts, in actions, in dreams. The Lord, indeed, where we have failed as one way or another in keeping ourselves only for you, in moving from the things that are lawful to doing things that are not beneficial. Oh God, I plead your mercy. Forgive us, oh God. Cleanse us, oh God. We break all bondages of darkness, all bondages of the enemy that keep people in bondage. We break them. We come against them in the name of Jesus. We set your children free, O God. Every bondage is in the soul, in the mind, in the spirit that are demonic in nature, that spirit husbands or spirit wives, or those that are connected by their emotions, those that are connected in body in the wrong way, we remove those bondages, oh God. We set them free this morning, oh God. And Father, we cancel every activity of darkness. We set your children free in the name of Jesus. I speak a word of deliverance, oh God. Bondages that are kept your people in pornography, in masturbation, we break them in the name of Jesus. Every demonic influences in dreams, we break them in the name of Jesus. And I plead the mercies and the blood of Jesus, inner strength, O God, inner strength that comes from on high, O God, that your children shall stand and stay faithful to the end, and that they shall honor you in all that they do. May your hand of healing be upon them. May your hand of blessing be upon them. May your grace be upon them. May your favor be upon them. We honor you, we exalt you, and we give you glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye.